Judges, the 8th chapter. I'm going to turn back, hold your place right there in the 8th chapter, and I'm going to just turn back to the 6th chapter and just read verse 14 and 15. And the Lord looked upon him, and he said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And in verse 15, And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Just wanted to kind of go back there and remember, Gideon here came from a servant, kind of a lowly servant. He considered himself a lowly servant. Till then we go to chapter 8, verse 22, and it says, Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, both thou and thy son, and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. We find here he goes from a servant to a celebrity. All at once, the men and the people of Israel wanted Gideon because of the great battle, the great victory. You remember that, the 300, and him and the 300, and how they won that victory. And of course, then they chased the Midianites out, and no longer was they under bondage. And all at once, we find that Gideon becomes a celebrity, someone very, very special. And in fact, this is one of the first places here in the Bible where Israel really shows a desire to have a king. And this is very, very important, because what we find here is that they want a king. And if you skip ahead to 1 Samuel, you remember when they asked for a king and God told Samuel to give them, let them have a king. The reason that they wanted a king is they wanted to be like the other nations around them. That's what it says in 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. They wanted to be like the heathen nations around them. Now, what that basically is saying is we want to be like them. We don't want God ruling over us. Because, you see, God was their ruler. God was the one that ruled over Israel. And they were saying, we don't want God anymore to rule over us. We want a heathen. We want to be like them. We want a man. We want a king to rule over us so we can be like the nations around us. And that's very, very important, because in verse 23 of chapter 8, you notice what Gideon said. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. And what we find here is he says, and he said it right. That's the way it should be, that the Lord rule over. And I got to thinking about that isn't that true also? What we ought to be saying is the Lord rule over us, rule over our personal lives. You know, I don't know whether you ever thought about it or not, but it is impossible for man to rule over man. Whether you know, you think about this, man has desired a king, man has desired someone to rule over them, but it'll never, ever, ever, ever be right until Jesus rules in the millennium kingdom. Man has not been able to do that. In fact, man wants to throw off the yoke of the Lord. In fact, maybe it'd be good, just real quickly, over in Psalms, take very long. Psalms, the second chapter. Second chapter of Psalms. Let me just read a few verses here, because he says, Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Remember it said the kings of the earth, see the rulers take counsel? His anointed saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now, if you continue to read that, it's simply man saying, We do not want God to rule over us. We don't want that. Now, here's where I find a problem, and that is that I'm afraid, to some degree, the Christian world has the tendency to do the same thing. I'll try to take the scripture and try to show you what I'm talking about here. But Jesus must be the ruler. Now, you've heard me say this many times, so I'm going to repeat it again. I think it's important. You've heard me say that every day, when I say every day, there's been very few that I haven't, but probably some. I pray that prayer and ask God from Psalms 32:8, I want you to instruct me and teach me in the way that I shall go. Guide me with your eye. And I believe that, but I want to say something to you. And I understand this is, you can say those words, but do we really practice the concept? I know something. The Bible says, God says, I will instruct thee. If God's going to instruct me, I must hear and be willing to obey his instructions. I must. You see, if he's going to instruct me, and he says he will, I've got to be willing to listen to those instructions and obey them. Isn't that right? And then he says, and I will teach thee. I've also got to be teachable. When I quote that verse of scripture, it's not just saying, okay, Lord, instruct me, teach me, and guide me with your eye, and everything will be all right. Well, I got to remember that I have just asked God to instruct me and teach me, and I've got to listen to instructions, and I've got to be taught, teachable. Donna and I was talking about this matter a little bit, and she has a lesson she's taught for years, and I'm trying to think, I know, can you remember, tell me what it is? How to grow a thankful heart. That, and we'll get into that later, but let me say something to you. Just thankfulness and being heard, being led by the Lord, it does not just happen. You have to grow into that, and you have to be willing to be instructed and taught, and then follow the guiding of God's eye. Okay? So I'm saying this is really important. What the reason I'm saying this is that's what Israel did not want to do. They wanted God to be pushed out somewhere and let some man guide them and instruct them and teach them, not God. And as I've said, I kind of feel like that even the Christian world is having that problem. I was kind of laughing to myself out there. I've done that for all the years as I've dealt with these little children on birthdays. And I laugh every time because Jerry gives the instructions. If you had a birthday, I've done that for years. If you had a birthday, if you, you know, don't make any difference. You can say that for the rest of your life. These little kids are going to say, my sister had a birthday. Amen? I mean, isn't that right? They just do. I've done that for years. Pastor Jerry's doing it now, and they're going to do that. And I thought, I think God feels that away sometimes about us. He gives the instructions, and we just don't listen. We just don't listen to what he's saying. And we don't follow what he's saying. But look, he said, I'll instruct you. Now listen to instructions. I'll teach you. Be teachable, because I'm going to teach you something. And I will guide you if you'll look and follow the eye of God. I'll guide you, you see. And we're down here saying, yeah, my sister had a birthday. Or something else, you know. You understand what I'm saying? Well, we've got to get back. Honestly, we've got to get back because the Christian world is doing exactly much. I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying the Christian world does a lot like the heathen world does. They just pretty take lightly the Bible, the Word of God. And the Word of God, you know as well as I do, it is truth, absolute truth, and he expects us to follow it. Old Testament scriptures over and over and over, and in fact, here in the first part of the book of Judges, you would not obey my voice. That's what he said, you would not do it. And boy, there was consequences for it. And yet we, as God's people many times, have the scripture right before us, and we will not obey it. And it's like, well, you know, we can take it or leave it. But that's not the way God looks at it. Do you believe? I mean, God don't look at it that way. He looks at it just as serious as when the Old Testament people disobeyed the word of God, we too disobey the word of God. We've got to get back to taking God serious, his word serious. In fact, what I want to do is just go over for a few moments over to the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. Now, I'm just going to cover some things because I want to tell you, I could have went probably to any book in the New Testament and found things that God has given us instructions on how to live. Just to be truthful with you, I just turned in my Bible over and I said, I want to find something God has told us to do, and it just really came open to here, and I'm just kind of going to share it from here because we could go anywhere. But I want to just share some things with you. In 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, he says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Now there was a command given in the first of that verse of scripture to not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now I'm just going to say this, okay? How many obey that? I'm not asking you to answer. I'm just saying, think about it. That is a command of God. Now, how many obey that? Then he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Now, he once again gives a command. Don't lay it up on earth, but lay it up in heaven. Now, how many do that? How many of us lay up treasures in heaven? And what are those treasures? I preached 9 sermons on the subject of treasures years and years ago. 9 sermons on treasure. Do we even know what treasures are? Do we know what they are? And are we laying them up in heaven? Folks, I'm not getting on you. I'm just telling you the truth. You understand what I'm saying? Do we really look at the scriptures like that and obey it? Do we lay up treasures? Do we not lay up treasures on earth? Okay. That's what he said. And here's why. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Whatever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. You know, your heart follows treasure. And whatever treasure is in your life or my life, heart's going to follow. That's where heart is. Amen? So what I'm just trying to do is trying to get you to take the word of God serious. Amen? You and me need to realize that's what it says. It's what God means. Right? That's what he means. And so we take the word of God serious. And I think a lot of times, I'm afraid anyway, a lot of times, we really don't take God's word serious. We just kind of read over it and say, yeah, but we don't really take it serious. And I think that's serious. Amen. And then just turn over. We could go on down through there and read some more, but we could turn over to Colossians. Just a few moments there. I'll get there in a minute. Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Let's see here. Read verse. Verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Once again, isn't that command, not suggestion? That we are to set our affections on the things above, not on the things of this earth. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members which upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, and which is idolatry. Look at verse 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Verse 9, lie not one to another. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. In other words, he tells us to take off the old man, put on the new man. These are things that God is instructing his children that we are saved now to do, not to lie one to another. You see, I'm just saying, do we take those teachings from the Word of God serious and mind what they say. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I think in God's eyes, when he gives us these instructions, he means business. I think he means for us to keep them. Amen? So I could, and in here was one that, let's see, go back to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, just real quickly. I was preaching family conference, and I brought this out concerning the children. It says in chapter 6, verse 6 of Ephesians, or verse 1 of Ephesians, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." And I brought out to the children, you know, God gives the instruction to the children to obey their father and mother. I mean, that's an instruction. That's what he tells them. And then he says that it may be well with thee, that you may live a long life. That may be well with thee, and that you may live a long life. And I question whether young people really believe that. If you ask them, do you believe the scriptures? They would say yes, just like we would. We'd say, yes, I believe it. But do you really believe that if you don't obey mother and father, that there's going to be a problem in that it may not be, will not be well with thee, or you may live a shorter life? Do they really believe that God means business? If they did, I think it would change their life. I think they'd say, you know what, I better shape up. I heard Oliver E. Green, it was on the radio, maybe in some of his books, I don't know. But Oliver E. Green said one day, he said, I will not live a long life. He said that. And he said the reason is because he brought disgrace to his father and to his mother. And he said, I will not live a long life. He died when he was 58 years old. Now, he was one of the finest preachers in my book that there ever was. Fine preacher, wonderful, wonderful student of the Bible, the Word of God. But he knew that God's Word meant what it said. So he says, no, I probably won't live a long life. And he did. He died at 58 years old. So what I'm saying to you is, how do we get these young people to believe the Bible? To really believe it? You see, because when God said that, isn't that going to take place? Huh? You understand what I'm saying? See, I'm just saying to you, I think that we've got a real problem in just not really taking God's word seriously. When he says something, that he means exactly what he says, and we old human beings that is so worthless sometimes better realize that no matter what we think, the Bible is true. And what God says, he will do. Amen? So I look at that, and I'm just trying to get us to understand that the Lord should rule our life. Folks, I'm not talking about just in big affairs, not in big decisions of life. I believe that he should, but I believe he ought to rule our life every moment of every day. That's what I'm talking about. As he instructs us through the day, we ought to listen to his instructions and let him teach us and guide us with his eye, not just about some big thing that we've got coming in our life. No, 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 no. Every day we should live that way, where the Lord rules over us and not the philosophies of man. You agree with that? Don't you think that would be, a great thing for us to decide to do in our life? Just take it serious throughout the day. Listen to his instructions and his teachings as we live the Christian life. Now, there's something in chapter 8 of the book of Judges that is missing. And I want to bring out a little bit about this thing that's missing. Now, I don't mean that God didn't put down everything he should have, but there's something missing that should have been there, and it wasn't, from the people of Israel. And that is this. You go to chapter 8, and after, now remember where we just come from. This great battle. Amen? God done a marvelous thing in that. You read over that, and you find 300 men in Gideon, and then after that, the rest of the Israelites coming in and chasing them and defeating. There is no way that God did not do that. Amen? It wasn't Gideon and them 300. It was God. Amen? But you do not find, in chapter 8, you do not find one thanksgiving unto the Lord or one praise unto God. And that's a real problem. No, you don't find it. In fact, they come to Gideon and say, "You rule over us. You delivered us." They didn't say, "God delivered us." And that's a real problem. And I just kind of believe something. I think the reason, and I'm going to read these verses to you, but the reason is, and they didn't give praise unto the Lord, they didn't thank God, was because their hearts were never right. If you go back here into the first part of the book of Judges, and you find that, remember, Gideon was instructed to tear down the altar of Baal. You remember that? He was told to tear it down and cut down the groves, and that he did. But it never was removed from the heart of the individuals. And I'll show you why I know that. If you go to chapter 8, verse 33. It came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side, neither showed they kindness in the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. Their hearts were never right. And as soon as Gideon died, they went right back to worshiping Baal. And what I'm saying to you is, you don't find praise and honor and thanksgiving unto the Lord in the chapter 8 because it wasn't in their heart to give it. It wasn't there. They was wanting to give it to some man. Now, I want to share a little bit here with you. I don't know how much time we'll get here. But there is a real problem when there is not thanksgiving unto the Lord. I mean true, heartfelt thanksgiving. I want you to go with me over to the book of Romans, the first chapter, please. It takes me sometime a while, I explained to you, to get where I want. I had to go to a bigger print Bible, and it don't fall open like it used to. It just don't happen. So you had to be patient with me. Chapter 1, verse of Romans. And I want to read verse 20 and let's see, through 22. It says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." And listen, "neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." And then it says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools." And if you'll read on down through there, the downward trail of wickedness. But it started with not glorifying God and not being thankful. See, not being thankful is very, very serious business, because that starts problems in a life. And you find in the life of the Israelites, there was no thanksgiving unto God because of the great battle and the great victory they had. In fact, as soon as he died, they went back to worshiping Baal. And I'm saying to you and I believe we've got to learn a thankful life. We don't have any reason to complain unto God. I mean, I know there's hard and difficult things happen, but I want to tell you something. When we cannot be thankful, we are headed in the wrong direction, and we are going to have problems. Because unthankfulness is a real serious problem that heads us into deeper and deeper problems. Now, I'll show you over in Second Timothy, please. Second Timothy. Second Timothy, the third chapter of Second Timothy. Listen to what he says. Third chapter, verse 1 and 2. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And we live in an unthankful generation. And I'm saying to you, God said in the last days, that's the way it's going to be. And unthankfulness is one of the things he puts out there for us. And he's already told us in Romans, the first chapter, unthankfulness, it heads you in a direction that absolutely you're not going to want to go. And I'm just saying to you, we've got to develop, as Donna's lesson says, you develop a thankful heart. I just believe that that's one of the real missing ingredients. And if you even out in the public and dealing with people out in the public, there's not a lot of thankfulness. Oh, I know you run into some, and thank God you do. But most of the time, people don't say thank you to you. I mean with a kind, gracious heart. But we ought to. We absolutely ought to be a thankful, grateful people. And I believe that has to be developed. And I think you have to learn to thank God for all kinds of things. And I know I'm no great example of it, but I know that on a daily basis, I thank God throughout the day for many things. Simple little things that I just say, thank you, Father, for helping me. And I believe that's something that has to be developed because we are not naturally a thankful people. But we better learn how to be, because we've got to learn that praise and honor and glory must go unto our Heavenly Father. It must go to Him. He's the one that deserves it. He's the only one that deserves it. And we ought to, with a very grateful heart, thank Him. In fact, we've got time. I want you to turn over to Luke, the 17th chapter, please, of the book of Luke. I want to show you something here. Verse number 12. Verse number 11, and it came to pass, that's chapter 17 of Luke, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood far off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face and his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 lepers? But where are the 9? These are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Jesus tells us in this story that only one out of the 10 turned around and came back and gave thanks and glorified God. Now listen to me. I think you put yourself in the place of one of the 9 lepers. When you walked away from there healed, you know there was a great feeling and maybe thanks in your to yourself. Oh, I'm healed. And I feel they must have felt that way. How could you not when you're all eaten up with leprosy and all at once now you're whole? You know there was some kind of thanksgiving, personal thanksgiving, that they wasn't like they used to be. But Jesus looked at the one who turned around and thanked the one who healed them. And I'm saying to you what I believe. I mean, I'm talking to me too. How many times do we talk about the wonderful things that God does, and do we take time out of our busy life to truly stop somewhere along the line, get before the Lord and say, thank you? Or do we just accept it? You see, all of them were healed, but one turned around and thanked the one who healed them. And I'm convinced of something, folks. I'm just convinced of something. We many times just fail to do that. Now, maybe you do. If you do, praise God. And let me share something with you. There is a reward for being thankful. Look at verse number 19. Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. The other nine didn't get that same promise. Just that one. The thankful one. So I'm saying to you, there's always a reward from God for thanksgiving, for thankfulness. Amen? So I just want you to just think about it, consider it. Maybe it'll help you and me to become a little more thankful in our daily life. And it's a good thing to do. Amen? Thankfulness is very, very, very important. Unthankfulness is serious, serious business. Well, I think it's about that time. Heavenly Father, thank you again today for your grace and goodness and kindness. Thank you for who you are. You're the true, the living God. And thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us. Thank you so much. You just for the salvation, for the Christian life, for all things. Thank you, because you're the one that provided for us. Now we pray, Lord, the next service, Pastor Jerry, as he preaches, give him power and wisdom, Father, and help him as he preaches the word of God. Help us to be attentive and hear and a mind and apply the word of God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.